Please.
I agree with you that the world is in a terrible state, a very dangerous situation that we find ourselves in. But is it not almost putting us into a state of voodoo if we say God is about to punish us? Isn't the meaning of the threat of punishment really there to encourage us to use the free will that he also gave us when he created us and that we believe in all three major religions?
Could you repeat what was said that I didn't catch that?
Yes. Sorry, could you just repeat what you the question there?
I agree with you that the world is in a terrible state.
Yes.
But the way you made it sound like God is about to punish us, it almost sounds like a voodoo prediction. And we have to hold against this, that the major religions all believe in our free will. We can take the course of evil and we can take the better course. And God is telling us the idea that there will be judgment if we choose a bad way, in order to help us to find the good cause.
No, he has told us that we will choose a bad way and that we will be punished in consequence, because everybody chooses a bad way in the end.
So
everything
we do not
goes
have
down,
free will.
And this punishment is not conditional. Christ predicted the punishment, the days of destruction, or the punishment, the days of punishment, and other religions have said the same. The same thing is predicted in all religions, this terrible punishment which will come at the end, because man always goes downhill. And what we have to do now is just to pray to practice the religion and to hope that we will escape from this punishment, or we are conscious that it will be, if we pray, if we keep true to the religion, then but we can't make other people do the same.
But anyway, now you give me the chance, I have to come in. If I could take you away from the theological discussion and ask, how does it work out in history, in a sense? If one follows your explanation, how do we understand the conversion of people from one religion to another? And in the context of Islamic law, how do we understand the restrictions that one might have in terms of intercommunal marriage, or the way children should be brought up, since all religions are equally valid and they are appropriate to the circumstances of a particular people? So, following that explanation, how should we understand these two situations? One, where people convert. I mean, as you gave the example of India, is predominantly a Hindu country with a large Muslim minority. And there are instances when people move from one religion to another. How should we understand that?
Well, it's not difficult to understand, because the religions, for example, many of us in this room have been converted from one religion to another. And Islam being the newest religion, it has had 600 years less time than Christianity to degenerate. Religions always degenerate with the passage of time. In Islam, Islam is in a much better state now than Christianity is as a whole, because Christianity has had 2,000 years in which to degenerate. Islam is degenerating. Islam is not, in fact, the state of the Islamic world is very bad, but it's not so bad as, for example, in England, I believe that, I'm told that Anglicans no longer teach their children to pray. They say, let them find that out for themselves. We don't wish to impose anything on them. That's not the case in Islam.
Sir, do you think that Wahdatul Wujud is the basic universal truth contained in the Quran?
Do I think that it is the truth? Of basic. Course, being a mutasawwif, I live on that truth. But it's not a truth that most people can take. It's not a truth which is that this is the very innermost aspect of Islam, which is not for everybody. The Prophet said, speak to people according to their knowledge or according to their understanding, according to their intelligence, I can't remember which. It's not a thing that can be discussed